look into his grace. Because where would any of us be without the grace of God? And then we could just sit there and dwell on that, or we could look in the scripture and kind of dwell on it a little bit more. So if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. If we were ever to look into any subject of the Bible, one of the most important things to do regarding that subject or topic would be, where does this start? Like, where do we see the first picture of God's grace just flooded onto man? And that's in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We understand with the background of Genesis chapter 6, you're not going to dwell too much on this old lineage that shows up to the man named Noah, but verse number 5 really sets the stage for the condition of mankind at that time. The condition, in verse 5, the Bible just says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we do have to be here. And Lord, we understand we are here because of your grace. And Lord, help us not to take advantage of that grace or forget that grace. But Lord, help us remember it. And we just ask tonight that you would speak to us and you would deal with our hearts on this, your topic of grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. That phrase is one of the most powerful statements in the Word of God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It reminds me of the powerful statement in John 3:16 where the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And we understand that that is God's grace, that he would give man the opportunity not to fall into condemnation, not to be stuck in judgment, but to have an out, to have God's grace, to have his hand reaching down to us and say, "I know you've sinned, I know you don't deserve my love, but I'm going to give it to you anyway." But we see this in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6. In this idea of grace, we have to understand this, that there is a giver of grace. There is a giver of grace. There is somebody who has the power to give grace, somebody to also understand that there is a reason for that grace to be given. And we need to understand that. Grace is not something that we deserve. And when we think about that in this, our age of entitlement, where I deserve it, if you have it, I deserve it because you have it. That's pretty sad. But when we look at God, he's got everything. And there's no way we deserve it. And there's no way we could obtain anything from God's goodness were it not for his grace. There is no way on this earth we could even have peace if it wasn't for God's grace. There is a giver of grace. We also understand that there is, I think I was just kind of alluding to this, there's a need for grace. There's a need. See, when I was born, some 33 odd years ago, I was a pretty good kid, you know. I might have cried a little, might have whined a little. But that pretty good little kid kind of turned himself into a little monster. And I cried a little bit more and probably screamed a little bit. And you know, I started doing this thing called being a blatantly disobedient little monster. It's okay, I don't remember it. Actually, I do remember a few things. But that was because they had this thing in my heart called sin. And that sin was going to condemn me to live for eternity separated completely from God. I was going to get what I deserved. The need for grace was that I would not get what I deserved, and that I would get what I did. Don't stop confusing me. The need for grace was so that maybe, possibly, I wouldn't get what I didn't deserve, what I did deserve, so I could get what I didn't deserve. Because nobody wants what they really deserve. If they understood what they deserve in this mentality of I deserve it age, if they understood really what they did deserve, they wouldn't be demanding to get what they deserved. But if you're here and you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, you know what you did deserve. And you can recognize the need for grace. But it's interestingly enough, grace does not stop at that moment of salvation. There's still a need for grace. Shall we think of 1 John 1:9? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All of it. I ask this question to the kids down below. Does anybody ever have a friend that you like doing things with? It's okay, you can raise your hands. Somebody you just like doing something with. Like play a game. And then they cheat. Good feeling gone. You see, this person that you wanted to spend time with and you wanted to play your favorite game with decided to cheat. Can you explain to me how Rebecca cheats in Scrabble? I just don't get up. Doesn't matter how long that game goes. Somehow she always wins. Except once. No, anyway. But here's the thing. If we were to stop and in our minds think of a person that, boy, I just like to spend time with this person. And I want to do my favorite thing with this person. And if that person messes it up, you see, that's how God feels when we mess up. And when that fellowship is broken, I'm thankful for His grace. Because when I confess that, boy, I messed up, He is faithful and just to forgive me of all my unrighteousness. And He makes everything better. That's God's grace. And there's a need for God's grace. There's a giver of grace. There's a need for grace. But when considering those things, we also understand there is an opposite of grace. Shall we look back to Genesis chapter 6? Verse number 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast. Man messed it up so much, I'm going to wipe them all out. Everything, it's done. That is the opposite of grace. Which is why it is so important. Which is why it's so powerful. It's why it's so precious to a believer. God's grace is so important because without the grace of God, see, the grace of God is contrasted with the judgment of God. And God's judgment is complete. God's judgment is something that can never be changed or revoked. As soon as it is pronounced, that's it. But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. There is grace. But as a Christian, in understanding grace, I must acknowledge that, yes, grace does exist, and it should exist in my life. But what is the requirement for grace? Why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord? Because grace is not something that is just given because God decides, I want to give this grace. Well, Let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. I think that's before 2 Peter chapter 5. At least it is in my Bible. First Peter chapter 5, verse number 5. It says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble." You know, if I were thinking about this verse and thinking about the life of Noah, which, interesting fact, Peter used Noah sometimes in some of his pictures, interesting. But if I were looking at that verse and thinking about Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, I would come to this conclusion. Noah must have been a humble man. Right. Yeah. Noah must have been a humble man in a society full of wickedness. So I say that because sometimes we get this idea that, boy, can you imagine what it'd been like to be a Christian back in those days because, you know, it was better? I don't know that phrase. The imagination was only evil continually. I honestly don't know if it can get any worse than that. Just saying. So Noah must have been a humble man. The humble man, the humble person, is the person that God gives grace to. That actually makes us think a number of questions. One of them is, am I experiencing God's grace in my life? That should cause us to either have warning flags or the opposite of warning flags. See, if we're experiencing God's grace in our life, that's a good sign that we are humble in the ways of God. If we are not experiencing God's grace in our lives, that's a good sign that we should humble ourselves. The narrative of Genesis chapter 6 would have gone considerably different had Noah been a proud man lifted up against God. What's interesting about the Bible and God's Word and having a relationship with Christ is He gives us the confines of what our relationship with Him is supposed to be, but He lets us pick the narrative. Isn't that interesting? He gives us the instruction, and He gives us, if you do it right, you're going to end up like this. If you do it wrong, it's going to end up like this, but you choose. Oh boy, I need God's grace. There is a requirement of grace. If I want God's grace on my life, I must then be humble. But that gives us that will lead us to this next thought. How do I get there? How do I get there? I don't want to be a proud person. But I just come by it naturally. I'm good at it. That's the way we are. I'll ask this question. Sometimes to tell whether or not somebody is right or wrong, a proud person or a humble person, who likes to be right? And of course, we all want to be right. A humble person is someone who, whether or not they're right or wrong, will admit that, yes, I'm wrong. Glad that didn't happen. But in all, we understand what there is grace. And we understand that there is a requirement for grace. But what is the path to grace? The path to grace. Well, one of the simplest places of Scripture that I think shows us this is in Proverbs chapter 3. In fact, this verse is probably a lot of you's favorite verses. I know there's been a few people that always said Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 was their favorite verses. A lot of people know some different little pieces, songs to them, but you can't get much simpler than this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5. I'll get there. Oh, and number 7. But Proverbs 3, Look at verse number 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And this verse number 7 is important. It says this, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, when I was thinking about this verse, in looking back at Genesis chapter 6, I was thinking of this thought here. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil. When the word evil is used in the Word of God, almost always evil means destructive, destruction. That's almost always the sense of the word. From the definition of the word, from the uses of the word that was translated from, it almost always has the sense of destruction. Would you agree with me, the flood was a destructive thing? Noah, fearing the Lord, was able to depart from that destruction. Had Noah not feared God, but let's look at this passage just a little bit. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The difference between humility and pride, the difference between humility and pride starts in your heart. Okay, listen. I made this statement a little while ago. Who wants to be right? We understand God said, let God be true and every man a liar. If I'm trusting in my heart and my life, in my, my intelligence. If I'm trusting in me, who's right? I've decided I'm right. Humble or proud? So, the instruction here is trust in the Lord. With all thine heart. But not just trust in the Lord. It goes on to say, lean not unto thine own understanding. Who here has your own understanding? I mean, it's just the way you think. Listen, you have your own understanding. Your mind, your background, your training, how you were brought up, the circumstances of life, everything that's happened to you has developed your understanding. You know, I'll give you a little secret. You can't get away from it. It is there till the day you die. Your own understanding. So the instruction is, don't trust in it. You want a picture of what a proud person does? They trust in it. It's my understanding. I am smart enough to figure this out because I've been there before. I'm smarter than that person. So clearly, I can do this. I got good grades in school. I finished school. They signed the paper that said I could be done. Nowadays, they don't even do that. Our own understanding. At best, your understanding is flawed. Is blind. Is tainted by how you perceive yourself in this world. I use this illustration sometimes. I think I may have even used it here once a long time ago. I definitely did it for junior church. Could you, Brother Jeremiah, could you come up here for a second? This is good. See, you know how tall he is? When I was younger, that is exactly how tall I wanted to be. Now stand here. Now watch this. Sometimes we decide who we really are. Like, you might not know this, but in my mind, I'm really, you know, this big guy. I mean, he can tackle any problem. And let's do it this way so they can see. So this is who I perceive myself to be. Could you stand still, please? Just stand still. And I lean on it. I, by the way, if you don't notice this, I'm leaning on my own understanding.
Yeah.
Humble or proud? That's a proud thing to do. Because, I'm going to ask you to move in a second. What happens when the storms of life come? What happens when the flood comes? Could you move?
Goes your arm.
They can go sit down. That was the other one. We did it the other way. I love that one. When we lean on our own understanding, plop, or as the Bible says, and great was the fall of it. That's what happens when we lean on our own understanding. Had Noah leaned on his own understanding, flood? Everybody else is laughing at it. It's never going to happen. We're not going to see something like that happen. I mean, rain like that? No. I mean, look at the water level down there. We have to travel really far to go to the water. And you're going to tell me that it's going to just flood everything and everybody's going to die? That was, honestly, that very well might have been Noah's understanding. Because it never happened before. Listen, in the Christian life, your life, it's full. Our lives are full of, it's never happened before. In fact, I can tell you, tomorrow never happened before either. Right. Next year, never heard of it. When we lean on our own understanding, it is the opposite of the understanding that we are to lean on, because instead of our own understanding, we're supposed to lean on His understanding. And in all our ways, as it says in verse number 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. You know what a proud person does as he goes along the way? Thinks only of himself. When I go and do my job at work, if I think I'm doing a good job, if I'm not careful, I'm like, I did a good job with that thing. Did you all see that? I did awesome. I saved a bunch of money over here. I did that all by myself, by the way. I'm the only person at Hobby Lobby and the warehouses over there that pulled out not one, but two pallets full of boxes higher than me, dragging on the floor because it was broken. That's the only one that did that. One day, I loaded 16 tons of clay all by myself. I was kind of tired afterwards. Okay, but you get what I'm saying? When a proud person goes his way, thinks only of himself and all what I did. A humble person who acknowledges God in all of his ways, when he almost gets cut off on the road and realizes that I'm glad I got cut off instead of hit. Thank you for watching out for me. Acknowledging God in the little things of our lives. You know, I believe that's one of the marks that Noah had as a humble person. I believe he acknowledged God in the little things of his life. I think that was one of the reasons why he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We have to ask ourselves the question, do I see grace in the eyes of the Lord? Is there anything about my life that causes God to desire to give me grace? Or is he tired of seeing me lift my head up like, aren't I something else? You are something else. I wish you'd stop. But honestly, that's where we find ourselves. Our desire as a Christian, as a believer, should be to acknowledge God in all of our ways, to not lean on our own understanding, to not do those things that lift us up, but to lift Him up. Because the picture of humility simply is this: the more I get down, the more he gets lifted up. And I can't lift up God in my life if I'm too busy. And we can't ever get as high as we want. Before you keep reading this passage in 1 Peter, he's going to tell you in his due time, he'll exalt us. And I don't know about you, but if I'm going to be exalted, I'd rather be exalted as he wants to exalt me. Because I've seen too many people exalt themselves. It didn't work out too good. Lift up a proud person, he's just going to get prouder. Lift up a humble person, and he's going to lift up whoever lifted him up. So that should ask us this question. Are we lifting somebody up? Are we lifting God up? There we see the path to humility, the path to grace. Humbling ourselves before God, by lifting him up, by walking in his ways, by trusting in him, by acknowledging him, by allowing him to direct our paths, by not being wise in our own eyes, but by just fearing him. That's how we walk in humility. And when we walk in humility, we get to see firsthand the grace of God in our lives. Firsthand. I don't know about you, but I like stories. But I don't want somebody else's stories for my life. I want my own stories. I want to be able to look into my own life and think of, wow, didn't God do something great here? I can't, what? Did you see that? Did you see what God did for me? Those are the stories I want. I want you all to have your own stories, but you know, I don't like talking about what God did for you. It's great to see. I'll praise him with you, and I'll be happy for you, but I want God to work in my life. I want him to work in my life now. I also don't want old stories. I can go back in my past and think about all these old stories that were great to have, but by the way, those are old stories, so they're kind of old. Oh, it's important to remember those stories, but it's also important to build on those stories. Have you built any stories lately? The more stories of your life you have, the taller you... No. So can you picture in your life living in a world that was just full of iniquity? And God having grace on you. God used one man and his family to secure the human race. You know, if we look at Ezekiel, there's a certain verse in there that says, but I sought for a man. Not a man, not people, not a nation, not a country. But one, to stand in the gap. Just one. And yet, he's still looking. He's still looking. Just to what? To stand. Not to do something fabulous or great, but to simply stand for God. Only a humble person would stand for God in the face of all this wickedness. Are you humble? We need to ask ourselves that question. Does God see humility in my life? Does he see humility? Not just an understanding of, yeah, I've got to be down on my knees every once in a while. But no, in our heart, bowing ourselves to God for who he really is. Because we know without him, we are absolutely nothing. And because of his grace, we get to be a child of the King. And for that reason, should cause us to be down on our knees thanking him every day of our lives for reaching down his grace and saving a sinner like me. So what about you tonight? As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, we'll just have a moment of invitation.